First, I apologize that this is not going to be the typical Musar Shmooz. This is more going to be, it's a preparation. I want everyone to be prepared for Yom Kippur. And with that comes a lot of information. And I just want to make sure that people are there. It won't be the typical. We started off, and I don't want to be all Hasidish here, and I apologize for doing this, but Nitzavim Vayelech Ha'azinu V'Zos HaBracha. That Nitzavim starts off sounding like the day of Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You're standing today in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, so to speak, in order to be judged. That's not the reason why they were standing in front of Hashem before Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That wasn't the purpose of that. But nonetheless, the concept of Nitzavim is standing there waiting to know, waiting to hear what you needed to hear. That's Nitzavim. Vayelech. Vayelech is, well, all of a sudden you're going. You're going to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing something extra to bring yourself there, to be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hasidic word is that Atem Nitzavim. Bnei Yisrael was a bunch of Nitzavim, standing in place and not moving. Vayelech Moshe. A person like Moshe was able to be a doer, a person who's able to bring himself to the next level. That's the idea of Vayelech itself. Ha'azinu means to listen. Listening means we listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. We decide this is what we're going to do. The final decision, so to speak, is being made. And when a person goes, he stands there to get his judgment. He goes to start doing, to hear what he needs to do. He listens and realizes this is what I'm going to be. Then, v'zos HaBracha. The bracha comes to a person. The reward that a person gets in this world and the next world is based on how we do during those days. To switch that around, we say these words in our Shemona Esrei every single day, and I hope that people connected it with what we're doing here. But Melech, Ozer, Moshiach, Umagein are exactly referring to this issue. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us during these Yemei Hadin is Melech is obviously a reference to Rosh Hashanah, the Nitzavim part of us standing there and being a part of His Malchus. That's the idea of Melech. Ozer, the help that we get, the siyata that we have during these days of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to bring ourselves to do what we need to do. That's the Vayelech idea. Then Moshiach, the Savior, to be able to be saved, the idea of now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us this is what you have to do, and we just sit there and listen and accomplish what we know we need to do. Then finally we're rewarded with Magen, the shield of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us, so to speak, surrounding us, that Sukkos, being around us and taking care of anything that needs to be, so that, so to speak, we are protected. Sukkos, according to the Rokeach, the Chag of Sukkos, was because Bnei Yisrael were fighting a war against Sichon and Og during Elul and Tishrei. And at that time, when they were standing there, these blisteros, the Medrash says, these missiles, not literally, but the rocks that Sichon and Og were throwing upon them, that the Gemara in Brachos says he took a whole mountain and tried to throw it on them, they were blocked by the Anane HaKavod while Bnei Yisrael were at war. That's the idea. According to the Rokeach, we celebrate Sukkos not as a reminder of the Anane HaKavod or as a reminder of the Sukkos Mamish, but rather both, the Sukkos Mamish that they had that became Anane HaKavod when they fought the wars against Sichon and Og. It was the winning of the war that allowed us to have it. He says that's why we celebrate it in Sukkos. It's a big Kiddush of the Rokeach. But the concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, giving us our reward for what we did, the amount that we did, bring us to where we have. And what's the goal? The goal is what? See, in the way we look at it, it's almost as if we get through Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and I mean it that way, we get through it. We do what we need to do. We finish off what we needed to finish off, and it's almost like, all right, we survived. I think there's even a book out there, How to Survive Rosh Hashanah or How to Survive Yom Kippur. There's a picture of like three guys sitting, and I'm sure it's any shul that you've ever been to, including here, right, where you have these guys looking like they're exasperated and exhausted because the davening was so long. And just, we survive. We get through Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkos to follow up. And then it's sort of like, all right, now back to our real lives. Now back to that. Remember my father-in-law told me about a person that he knew who was trying to become frum, and that person found out it was Rosh Hashanah happened, Yom Kippur happened, then Sukkos happened, and then the guy's like, oh man, I don't know how you Jews do all this, how, I should say, we Jews do all this, right? To which my father-in-law said, well, don't worry, we still have Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, and the guy's like, I'm all chagged out, I'm done. cogged out, did not catch on very well, but the idea of just how everything goes through. And then finally, we're back to our old lives. So what happens? The goal is what? The goal is to forget about everything and start over after Sukkot? Is that the goal? Is our mission to be able to survive? And once we're done with it, okay, we're done with it. Now I don't have to worry about this for the next 360 days. Is that what it is? Or is it something more than that? I feel like we're done with Sukkot. When Sukkot is over, you forget that Rosh Hashanah was just 25 days earlier. You forget that we just had a whole process in which we were supposed to get somewhere. What is the goal? What's the end game? Is it about Sukkot? Is Sukkot a killer? That, oh no, you don't understand, Rabbi Zimmerman. If Yom Kippur would lead into the rest of the Zman, then it would be awesome. Then everything would be great. I would be on time every single day. Because I looked at Yom Kippur, I decided I was going to become a different person, and then the next day I would have shown up to Seder 5 minutes earlier. I would have made sure that I was there the entire time. My learning would have been 100 times better. Is that, and Sukkot killed me. Sukkot knocked me out. If not for Sukkot, everything would have been there. I don't think that's true. I think people go into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without a goal. A plan, we talked about last week, a plan maybe you have. But a goal. What's the goal? What do you want out of these chagim? What do you want Sukkot to do for you? What do you want Yom Kippur to do for you? Is it just a vacation? And I don't mean this to say this in a disparaging way, but is it just that? It's a vacation. You have a bunch of days off. You can go do some stuff, and then I'll prepare myself for coming back to yeshiva on Monday. Is that what it is? Or is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot supposed to be leading up to something more? Leading up to something that's supposed to be there. I get the method. Accepting Hashem's Malchus, deciding that I want to work on myself, and then finalizing my plan to work on myself. I get that. That's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Saras Meitshuva, Yom Kippur. But where does Sukkot come into play? And what do we want with this? What are we trying to do to get toward this goal? So first let's start. What are these Aseret Yemei Teshuva? What are we trying to do here? Aseret Yemei Teshuva is working on the little things. There is no point to building up your lives all anew during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. It's right in between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. You're not going to make any major changes here. Aseret Yemei Teshuva are working on the little things. It's not about, so to speak, the Averos, although that's involved. It's about your mitzvos. Aseret Yemei Teshuva, make your mitzvos more worthy. Let's just start off from right here. Did you say Moda Ani this morning? Simplest thing in the world. You've got 12 words to say when you wake up in the morning. Did you say Moda Ani when you woke up this morning? Was Nego Vasser done in the proper fashion? Did you say Asher Yatzar after you left the bathroom? Was Asher Yatzar said? When you said Asher Yatzar, was Asher Yatzar said, etc., we are on a race and you're trying to finish? Or was it an Asher Yatzar because you're supposed to say Asher Yatzar? It's an Asher Yatzar because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate everything you've done for me. Brachos on your food. How about benching? What was your benching like? Was it different or the same as it was the week beforehand? You see, the Aseret Yemei Teshuva is not just about doing tshuva for the bad things we've done. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know too many people that klap al chet and sit there, even if you do Ashamnu Bagadnu, they're mamish thinking of their sins like they do on Yom Kippur during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Maybe there are people, and I just haven't seen them. I haven't been in Eretz Yisrael in a while. Maybe there are people out there. But I don't see too many people doing actual vidui and actual tshuva during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So what do you want to do? What are these days for? Are they just more days? In my opinion, it's to work on those mitzvos. To work on those small things that we know we can do better. To say the bracha a little bit better. To bench a little bit better. Your Seder attendance, just, no, I'm not going to be perfect. You go a minute earlier, a minute later, something like that. Your davening, can you add on korbanos for the week of Aseret Yemei Teshuva? I might not be able to do korbanos all the time. But can I add on korbanos for now? Can I do that? And add it on. Can I make sure that for slichos, that if I miss a slicha because I came a little bit late, that I make it up later? You know, there's a halacha that if you miss v'hu rachum on a Monday or Thursday, for example, you're davening a minyan, and there's no tachnun for whatever reason. There's a bris or a chasen or whatever it is. You know, you're supposed to say v'hu rachum later on in the day. It's brought down. The Aruch HaShulchan brings it, the Chayyadim brings it, Mishnah Berurah brings it somewhere. Do you know you're supposed to make it up? Do we do that? I mean, this would be the time to take that on and not say, like, during the rest of the year, that's hard, it's really hard. During the Teres Mechuvah, you say, I want to do everything a little bit better. How about being nicer to my chavrusa, to my roommate, to a friend, to my parents? Did we call up our parents and say something to them, or see our parents and say to them something that should have been there, giving them the honor they deserve? Take your mitzvos, bring it one level up. Did you clean up after yourself? Did you make sure that if I throw something on the ground, that I actually pick it up, whether it's outside, inside, I don't care where. Did you clean up after yourself? You use a bowl and, I don't know, and a fork or a spoon for something to eat something. Did you make sure that everything was cleaned out? You used somebody's bathroom to wash something out. Did you wash out the sink while you did it? Is that the little things? I don't even mean to say it this way because I know it doesn't belong in a Beis Medrash, but I know we should, it has to be said. Did you clean off the toilet seat after you went to the bathroom? Did you do that? Did you make sure to flush everything down? I know it's the silliest thing in the world. But these are things that the conscious mind needs to attend to. You need to think about these things. What about Kiddush Hashem's? Saying please and thank you. Saying anything little. Do I have any money that I have to pay back? Is there Birchas HaMapil before I go to sleep? Did I say Birchas HaMapil? Did I say Shema Yisrael? Maybe during this week, if I normally say Shema and HaMapil, maybe this week I should do all three paragraphs of Shema. I should say the Hareini, Ani, Mochel, Mi, Shehichisosi, etc. Maybe I should add on the little parts of Kriya Shema Lamita that I would never say during the week because Kriya Shema Lamita is the size of this Gabbai's handbook. So it's just not going to happen. But maybe I could add on one thing, a little Hashkivenu without the bracha at the end, right during this time over here. Did I do a Cheshben HaNefesh for 1 minute, let alone 5, 10? But did I do a Cheshben HaNefesh to think about my day and to say to myself, right, what I'm supposed to do? Did I keep my eyes clean? And granted, there are going to be times during the year when it's hard. It's really difficult to be able to keep our eyes clean and make sure we don't see the right things. Am I taking extra precautions now to make sure that my eyes are clean? That I'm going to make sure that even though normally, it's normal for my eyes to look up for a second when somebody inappropriate is walking by, I try to put my head down as soon as I can. During this time, am I making sure I'm not going to look up? I'm not going to go on a website or even go near a website that might have an inappropriate picture or comment, something like that. I might be reading a news article, but we all know that news articles end with pictures. News articles have things in it. So what are we doing? What are we keeping ourselves away from? All of these things are Aseres Yemei Tshuva issues. Aseres Yemei Tshuva issues. It's not that you don't have to work on them during the year. Just the reality is that a lot of them are really hard and we're not always as inspired. So when Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur roll around, the time in between them is there for a little bit more inspiration to be able to get you. If you could work on all these things all year long, that's awesome. But Aseres Yemei Tshuva especially in certain ones more than others, I think everybody understands what I mean by that. But to take this on and to say to yourself, here is what I'm going to work on. You start moving yourself along. And then all of a sudden you get to Yom Kippur. So practically speaking, what do you do? So I think the problem with Yom Kippur and the leading into Sukkot is that, again, we're not prepared. Erev Yom Kippur, there is no official yeshiva. So what's your plan for the day? You daven, let's say, at 7:30, 7:25. I forgot what time we set up Erev Yom Kippur davening for. Slichos is very short. The davening is really short. It's a Friday. There's no laning. There's no extra. There's no tachlin in Erev Yom Kippur. It's a very short davening. Very, very short davening. So once you're done, so what do you do? What are you doing for the rest of the day? You're done by, let's say, 8:15. Now what? There's no Ataras Nedarim. You have a chiyuv to eat a meal. Done. You eat a breakfast, and it should be a big breakfast. Eat more than you normally would. You eat a real big breakfast. You got to set yourself up for a big lunch. You got to set yourself up for a big suda mafsekes at some point. And you got to go to the mikvah. Aside from those, what's the rest of your day like? You have from 8:45, let's say, you have a half an hour for breakfast, from 8:45 until around, give or take, 6 o'clock at night. What are you doing during those 9 hours and 15 minutes? What's happening during that time? It's, again, 9 hours and 15 minutes. Take off another half an hour to 45 minutes for Suda Mafsekes, half an hour for lunch. Okay, a mincha has to be thrown in there. Mincha's a little bit longer. Take out that as well. 8 hours. 8 hours altogether that you have. What are you doing? Set it up now. Think about it now. Setting up a chavrusa to learn something in the morning is absolutely amazing. Tehillim, to be able to have a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour to say Tehillim to yourself, to have a little Tehillim on you, to pull it out and to be able to say it all day long in Erev Yom Kippur when nothing's going on. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Writing things down, as we talked about before Rosh Hashanah, but to prepare yourself by making sure you have a plan, making sure you know what you want to say in your Shemona Esrei of Yom Kippur, what you're going to say at the times when you're a little bit out, what you're going to do in the break. There's about a 2 hour break here in between Musaf and Mincha. It's a long break for a yeshiva. It's a 2 hour break. What are you going to do during that time? Get yourself writing down, look over there. How about looking over the machzor? Look over your machzor and what we're going to say in Musaf of Shemona Esrei. It should not be a shocker. There should be no shockers. You get to Chazaras Hashatz, a Musaf, and you're just like, oh, I didn't see this one coming. It should never have been. You know where you are at all times. There's no reason to check the pages, how many pages are left over here. You know how many pages are left. You know the Musaf ends on page 642, right? And you wait, and you say, this is it. It's all there for it. There's Mishnayos Yuma that could be said that's in the Machzor itself to prepare yourself for. You could look for a lulav and esrog on that day to prepare yourself by getting involved in a mitzvah. Maybe you'd like that for after Yom Kippur. But you could go around and look at lulav and esrog, even the looking and searching through and familiarizing yourself with what is a kosher lulav and esrog and what it means. That already there is a mitzvah. Take a long walk through a forest like a Hasidish story, and just go out there and just sit there, just think. Just think. I mean, it's very, very, very underrated. And take a short nap afterward. That's okay also, to get yourself up so you can spend a little bit more time in the Beis Medrash on Yom Kippur night itself. You don't have to go to sleep at 10 o'clock. You can go to sleep at 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30. You take a short half hour nap, you'll get yourself energized, you'll be able to have a little bit more to be able to go through. Going through your phone, but this is dangerous and it depends, going through your phone and finding people that you may have upset or have upset you over the year, to be able to write them a text message or something, to be able to tell them what you think, to ask for mechila, or possibly tell them. I think one of the greatest things I've ever seen anyone do is go through their phone, found a person that they know upset them, and called them up and said, I just want you to know, you upset me. And I was upset about it. I'm trying to get over it, but I needed you to know that. Before Yom Kippur, I felt it was the right thing. It's one thing to ask a guy, are you mochel me? Listen, the vernacular is out there. I get it. Whatever. I don't know what to say to someone like that. But to say to a person, this was a legitimate complaint that I had on you. Can you be can you tell me that you didn't mean it? Or can you show remorse for it? That helps the other person. And I would, for you as well, it kind of gets you to feel like, all right, I can get over this. That's really, really helpful. Even just saying Gemar Chasima Tova. Saying Tefillah Zaka, do not rely on saying Tefillah Zaka later. You will not have time. You're going to mess it up. It's going to, all of a sudden, you're going to have to do it in between Mincha Marv, and Mincha Marv is a crazy time. You might have to go to the wash and whatever. You're going to miss out on saying Tefillah Zaka. Make sure you do it during the day. Make sure, honestly, you have something to eat before and after that you like. Because remember, if you're going to be somewhere, make sure that you have something specific that you want for yourself. And finally, make sure, and it's crazy, but make sure you have a clean suit, tie, shirt, everything ready, proper shoes. I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, I've forgotten I'm wearing leather shoes. What do I do? Leather belts are okay. I probably get that, Shaila, I don't know if Rabbi Sheinfeld, 7,000 times through text on Erev Yom Kippur. Leather belts are okay. You want to wear a leather jacket? You're a weirdo. That's fine. That's not it. It's leather shoes that are an issue. But make sure you have non-leather shoes. Don't think about it 5 minutes before you're about to go to Kol Nidre, and all of a sudden, like, wait, I don't have shoes. Payless isn't open then. Just deal with it now so you don't have it. Prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. And I think, personally, this is the reason why people are lost on Sukkos. Where Sukkos becomes such a... You haven't prepared yourself. You haven't gotten yourself ready. So all of a sudden, Sukkos comes in, and Yom Kippur is there, and you're done, and then you don't have anything. There's no plan. You have nothing written down. You have nothing. If you had it all written down, what you wanted to do on Rosh Hashanah, you worked on the little things during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Not everything, but you worked on certain things during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. And then you sat there in Yom Kippur with your own plan, another plan that goes all the way through. It's going to feel different after Yom Kippur. Your sukkahs is going to be an opportunity for some type of growth that you've never had before. A bigger amount of growth. Something greater for you. You will be something different over sukkahs. And if you do it that way, then all of a sudden sukkahs turns into a brand new Zman. It's the preparation beforehand, the realization of what you have, and the goals that you set for yourself that allow you to have a proper sukkahs as not a hefsek, but a continuation between your Yom Kippur and the Zman itself. So start it now. You have the rest of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. You have the rest of today, Wednesday, Thursday. You have Friday to do all the things that we spoke about. All the things that we said. And then you have Yom Kippur itself to get yourself ready for a time off. To get yourself ready for a Zman. Not a hefsek. Not a vacation. Not time off where I get to do whatever I want. But a preparation for a Zman that's the hardest Zman. A winter Zman. A Zman that's going to be long and hard and cold. It's going to be here. This is not normal. It's going to be cold, and you have to get yourself ready for it. Preparing yourself properly allows Sukkot to be a proper Chag. Let's do this, guys. So.